Collins had a good afternoon and ready this evening to have a few words from the scriptures, a few words as a lesson, and we all might grow thereby and benefit therefrom. But it's wonderful to be here, for each one of you to be here with us also. Our lesson is our family and its service to God. I mean, talking about our personal family. This morning was talking about the church family, the church here, the church in heaven. And not a lot of detail, but to remind us that the church here and the church in heaven really, you know, have a lot of same qualities to be like. Well, also our personal family, our home and so on like that. What's it to be like, if it might benefit, that we might grow thereby in our relationship with God by the way that we live as a family. And it has been said, and there's a lot of truth to it, that as the family goes, the nation goes. And if you look around, if you see some of the things on the news at night that you don't like, that you know, that's just horrible, that's just happening in their neighborhoods about us and so on like that, well, that's the way the family life is. It's pretty much like it also. So let's keep that in mind as we look at a few things from the scriptures. And our basic lesson is found in the Ephesian letter, the first chapter. And here the Spirit is empowered Paul to speak to the church there at Ephesus to train them in the way that they should go, and then that they too might see the King someday, as we sang in that song. But this is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen in us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven, which are on earth, even to him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ Jesus, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And we could read on there, but things really pointing, you know, to what all God has done for us. He's granted to us salvation, and we can have that through Jesus Christ our Lord. This salvation is in accordance with the gospel. It has to be heard and believed and obeyed, and there's no way around that. And it's something that you'll want to do once you have heard the gospel, in all probability, unless you believe it in vain. A lot of people do. They don't accept the gospel message, do they? They just deny it all, or do deny it. I thought about these things, about the family's relationship to God. I have the book, maybe you've heard it, read it, or have had access to it, is General Colin Powell and his journey to America, journey through America. And he's a person that entered the military, has done very well, risen to be a 4-star general. And the last major job he had in the government was he was chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. which is a high honor indeed for one to have. But he tells a story in there of just before the troops was going into Kuwait, to liberate Kuwait. You know, what was that, 1990, I believe it was, whatever it was, long in there. Anyway, Sam Donaldson was trying to pin down some of the troops, and he asked this question to some of the troops. There's 30 or 40 of them sitting around there, and he asked this one guy, he says, "Are you afraid, and do you think you will win?" He says, remember that. Are you afraid, and do you think that you will win? Now this soldier, private in the army, came back with this reply. He said, "I am with my family. We are well trained." And some of the troops back there just yelled out, said, "Tell him again, he can't hear you." And he said, "I am with my family. My family and I are well trained." So all of these troops thought of themselves as a family. And oftentimes they do. The Marine Corps does, the Navy does, the Army does, Air Force too. They think of themselves as a family. And families have different responsibilities. Families have, you know, different people carrying on the duties or different aspects of that family. And so it is in our family. We have to think of ourselves first as a family. They were well trained. We need to know what our duties and obligations are. When I grew up and we grew up on the farm, you know, we each had responsibilities because the head of the family had designated certain things for certain of the children to do. Certain ones, you know, were to milk the cows, feed the chickens, to do certain things like that. Others to bring in the wood. Wood was a big chore back when I was a child because you brought in wood not only in the wintertime to heat the house, you brought in wood even all year long to put in the cook stove. No wood in the cook stove, you're not going to eat very well unless you eat raw food. A lot of things don't taste very good raw. Some things are delicious. But nevertheless, you had chores to do, and all the family had their responsibility to carry out and do certain chores. So we need to realize that in the family, we have responsibilities. One responsibility we have in our family's plan for God, one of the first things that I'd set up there, top of the list, would be to remember to pray. Remember that God is our Father, that God is there, and none of us is so well off that we don't need to pray. We need to talk to God. We need to let God know He knows, but we need to let Him know that we feel like that He can help us with our problems. He can help solve them. He can grant to us wisdom, helping in making decisions and things like that. But we need to make God an active part in our life. So if you're in a family situation, and you are, if you're living today, you're in a family situation, you need to let God be an active part of your family. And I'm not talking about the charismatic movement and things like that, how some people, you know, get carried away and always talking about, you know, got to go talk to God. I've told this story before, and some of you might remember it. Years ago when I was in the car business, lady come by one afternoon, just had to trade, wanting to trade cars real bad. Well, she wouldn't trade right then. She said, "I'm going home to pray about it." Now, I was a lot different than other salesmen, you know. I didn't push her. I said, "You go on home then, and when you coming back, you'll be back tomorrow morning?" I said, "We'll be here at about noontime, or 1 o'clock, if you want to come back tomorrow." She said, "I'll be back in the morning." She came back, said, "I prayed about it, and the Lord told me not to buy that car." I said, "Now, wait a minute. When I talked to the Lord about it, He told me to sell you that car." Told her that. I was kind of kidding her because I didn't pray to God about it. But nevertheless, she bought the car. But you know how people are sometimes. We've got to go talk to God about it. But we need to have that attitude. It would not hurt us at all to have that attitude. I have seen God's power. I know of things. I almost hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. Back in the late 1980s, I was really concerned about the Soviet Union, the danger to this country, the danger to the Western world, and I thought it would be a great thing if the Soviet Union was not anymore, or that we had opportunity to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the Soviet Union. I've seen it done into Spain and some of these other countries, you know, smaller countries, yes. But I prayed about that many times, and you know, I feel like my prayer was answered. Because I remember the very night I came home and I saw people pulling down, tearing down that wall. The first time I heard our president say, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." I was kind of scared. I said, "Wait a minute, that's kind of blunt. The president is telling, you know, Mr. Gorbachev," of course he knew Mr. Gorbachev. And Gorbachev was a different man than many others had been. But that's what you needed, wasn't it? Somebody different, somebody that would listen. And they tore down that wall. And in 1994, the year before we started the Lake Norman Church of Christ, Brother Charlie Lothar was one of the four people down there. And he was going off for a month. "Where are you going, Charlie?" "Going to Russia." "Yes, going to Kiev. Going to Kiev because the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was meeting over there. The congregation, Northview congregation, was one of the sponsors of the preaching to that congregation. And he and several of the brethren was taking a plane flight over there to visit and encourage the church. In 5 years, the change that has taken place. From a country with tanks and weapons and if you, resisted the government hardly at all, you know what happened. You didn't have a head no longer, as expression goes, under the Soviet rule. Now, the gospel was being preached in a Soviet, an ex-Soviet nation, the Ukraine and so forth. But what prayer can do, we've seen it in our lives perhaps, looking at it in other lives of other people too. But remember that God, who is over all and through all and in you all, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5 or verse 6. And if you want God at the center of your family, start talking to God, praying to God. Children can learn to pray to God, and we certainly ought to continue that. God's plan, see verse 11 here. God's plan, in whom we have obtained an inheritance. See, he's going to give us an inheritance. And being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things. See, he has a plan. We ought to remember that. And verse 14, a purpose, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest is the down payment. For our inheritance has been made. We have been redeemed. And the list goes on. Verse 15 there. Sealed. How that we are sealed. Let's see. No, that's not that. But wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love of all the saints, which you showed towards all the saints, look at all the things that God is doing here for our salvation. The family's plan for God. What kind of a plan do you have in your home for God? I've been in a lot of homes that have a picture, so-called looking picture of Jesus on the wall. That's all right if you want to put one up there. It's okay. But it at least shows something, doesn't it? As a reminder. A reminder. But you can accomplish something in your family by setting up some of the teachings that are here in the gospel. And the New Testament about God. And Old Testament too. So talk to God with your family. Talk to God when you sit down. Talk to God even as they were told back in Deuteronomy 4. In the mornings and the evenings and all throughout the day to your family. And I know that sometimes just praying or just at bedtime could be a ritual. But you don't want to make it a ritual. It doesn't have to be. And think about maybe ahead of time. You're walking around the afternoon, you're mowing the grass or washing dishes or whatever. Oh, by the way, talking about washing dishes, a lady told me, you know, said, "I miss washing dishes." Matter of fact, she went back to it. Her dishwasher sits over there, doesn't use the hardly. She said, "I miss the quiet time. I have washed dishes and I look out the window and I think about different things. And I miss that." when I didn't wash dishes and I just put them in the dishwasher. Because what happens when you put them in the dishwasher? You grab that old remote and you start flipping. You know, I don't like that channel. I'll get me another one here. Not long till you're just watching TV while the dishwasher's over humming. But you can have a time during the day when you're thinking about, what are my prayers going to be like tonight when I go to bed? I bet you, have you ever thought about that? What are you going to pray for tonight when you go to bed? Put a plan in effect. Jim McMahon used to tell us, he said, get you a plan and then work it. Get you a plan and stand by it. But that's what we need to do. Talk to God. Good times, talk to God. In bad times, that's what families need to do. Families need to realize God sees us. He sees young men and he sees young women when they go out. The things that young boys and girls do. He sees you and I as adults. What we do. He sees what you're doing at your job. As you go about your daily lives. The day-to-day activities. But remember to talk to God. The good times and all the times, you know, like that. And remember that soldier said, we are well trained and I have my family with me. He thought that was important. And it is important. But if you only pray, let me say this, when you're in crisis, it still speaks of faith to a supreme being who can control your destiny or our destiny. We also ought to act like God by, you know, loving as he does. In Ephesians 5 verses 1 and 2, therefore be imitators of God as blessed children and walk in love. Also, we might remember Philippians chapter 2 when he says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. See, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And he wants us to think like that, to have the mind of Christ. Remember Christ as he goes about and doing things here on the earth. He's healing people. He's telling people of God's love. He's talking about things to come. He's talking about the hereafter. He's talking about the present. He's calming storms. He's doing all kinds of things that people might know that he is the Christ, the Son of God. He is telling us about God. His mind is on the Father. Even so, our mind ought to be on the Father in our day-to-day, daily activities. A lot of them. We could be like that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We can accomplish a lot. Husbands and wives ought to practice things in the home. Kindness and gentleness. There's no... Well, I guess I should add patience to that also. Much more is found in putting other people first. A husband that puts his wife first. A wife that puts the husband first. And we both then would bring God back into the home. When a husband puts his wife and her needs ahead of his own, he's bringing God back into the home. Let me tell you a little story. It's called Joanne. A lady wrote this about her home. And things is kind of like a lot of other homes, I guess it was. Good times and bad. But one day, out of the clear blue, her husband said, you know, said, I appreciate the neat way that my drawer looks. The way that the clothes or everything are put in the drawer in the closet, how neat the closet looks. She said, what's going on here? Well, it wasn't too long later till he pushed himself back from the dinner table. He said, that was really a good meal. I appreciate the many good meals of probably 10,000 that you have fixed for me over the years. And I appreciate the good meals, the way that you prepare food and watch the budget and so on around the house. Now, she really is looking now. Things are not normal around this house. But this is continuing. It went on for some time. And finally one day, this was at the supper table too, she pushed back. She said, I just want to thank you for being such a good husband, of going to work and coming home and taking so good care of this family. And then it struck her, what am I saying? What has happened here? The kindness and consideration that he has shown is now contagious. She is doing the same thing. Now, wouldn't it have been wonderful had they known that back from day one, before they even got married? A husband come home and tell his wife, I love you. It don't hurt to say that after you got married. But once in a while, you can say that and mean it. Don't just say it and you want to buy a new shotgun or a new car. You know, because those days come. Well, you just don't need to say it then. But remember to be considerate. Considerate one to another. Be compassionate. Be ye kind one to another. I use that verse a lot, you know. Don't hurt, does it? Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. This is one of God's great gifts. Let me repeat that. This is one of God's great gifts. Forgiveness. He forgives. We forgive. He is merciful and kind and loving. Why aren't we merciful and kind and loving? Bring that up in your family. Teach your children that. One of the great things that's just marvelous to see in this old world, and a lot of beautiful things in this world, but is to see that in a family or children as they grow up. And it's also sad when you see them grow up and they don't have this, isn't it? I want to tell you another story. Remember your children. And that's how this story deals. True story. A lady had inherited a vase that her great-grandmother had owned. I don't know how big the vase was, nothing about it except this. She has a little boy, 5 years old. And this vase is sitting on the mantel, about in the center, if you want to just picture it like that. And it has a ring of roses around the rim of the vase. And the little boy is curious. Does that ring of roses go all the way around to the back? See, he can't see the back side of that vase. So mama's in the kitchen or wherever, and he goes in this room, and he stretches and reaches as high as he can, and he can barely touch the vase. He tries to pull it out. It falls and breaks. And he first whimpers, and then he begins to cry, and cry uncontrollably almost. And his mother comes running in there. And she sees what's happening. But she picks him up, and she holds him. She says, oh, I'm so glad that you're all right. I love you. I am so glad that you are okay. See the difference in what she has just done and what most parents would have done? They'd have come in, where's my belt, where's my stick, whatever, and give him a beating. But that young man grew up and wrote about this. He remembered that. As he was an adult, a man of the world, he remembered how much his mother loved him because of the way what she did. I'm so glad that you're not hurt, that you're okay. I love you. Let them know that. Be kind and compassionate to your children because God has forgiven us. Be ye tenderhearted and kind and forgiving one to another. Act like God by doing right. This is something a family, every family can do this. The family's plan for God. Act like, you know, Ephesians 4 verses 23, 2 and 23, 24. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. Put it aside. Don't have nothing to do with it. God wants us to do right. Those people there, you know, they had to renew the spirit of their mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So Paul is reminding the Ephesians they're no longer the same old sinners they once were. They are different. They have changed. Repentance puts all of that behind you, and you take on these new and wonderful characteristics. when one family member does right, all the family benefits. It's true. One family member does right, all the family benefits. We can also act like God by dying for others, sacrificing some of our time and all for others. Because you see, so many in the world are lost. So many do not know that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. They do not know that the time is coming in which they shall be judged by the deeds done in the body. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, we should all stand there before Him and give an account of the deeds done in the body. And we have one, John 12 and verse 48, that will judge us in the last day. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Teach those people that. We have opportunity when gospel meetings and each and every, you know, day of our life to invite or encourage other people to hear the gospel message and to be have these changes come in their lives. Before some of these things that I mentioned tonight can take place, you have to become a Christian, because only a Christian will dedicate himself to others or herself to others. Oh, some will part of the time and some will a lot of time, but maybe for different reasons. But the wonderful thing is we can love like God through Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us. We ought to dedicate ourselves to the winning of souls, the converting of people, you know, teaching them the gospel message that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Hear that message, believe that message, you know, the people that haven't done it. And they need to repent of their sin. Jesus said, Luke 13:3, nay, I tell you, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So we want to repent. We want to change. We want to put aside the old customs and all of these foolish things that we've learned throughout the world and the weaker things, the sinful things. Put them aside. Bury them. And come and be buried in the waters of baptism. Baptism is a burial in water. Where John baptized, there was much water. In Acts, you know, chapter 8, they Philip, there in the eunuch, he said, as they rode along in this chariot, I reckon this horse is hooked to it, I don't know, it might have been billy goats, but he see, riding in a chariot, and she says, see, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Is there anything that hinders me from being baptized? He had been taught evidently Jesus. He'd been taught he needed to repent. He'd been taught he needs to baptize. And he's also confessing Jesus, because he said, if Philip said, if thou believest with all of thy heart, thou mayest. And both Philip and he went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. And they both came up out of the water. Years ago, I was working at a Chevrolet place, and a wife of a Methodist minister was buying a car, not from me, which is a other thing I don't like about her. Nevertheless, to tell you the story, we were talking about this baptism. The subject come up, I do not know, but I said, and they both went down into the water. It's a burial, and Philip baptized him, and they both came up out of the water. And she said, oh, they didn't have to go in there, but they're ankle deep. She still was going to deny it. And anyway, I told her what the Bible says. The Bible says they both went down into the water, and he baptized the eunuch, and they both came up out of the water, and he went away rejoicing. Wonderful. He had obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've never done it, you need to do it. It's a great thing to obey the gospel. And then, in your life, you can put the things that you learn about God into your family. Whether you're a married man or a married woman or what, but we can put all of these things to use in our family. And wherever we go in life, if you're a boy or girl in school, it can follow you as you walk the hallways of the school. Or wherever you go in life, the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. It ought to be there. We ought to be doing it. And our time is up for this lesson, but I just want to encourage you, set some plans for your family and how your family has obeyed the gospel and the things that you do with your family and your relationship to our God who is in heaven. So tonight a song is announced, and Brother Raul is going to lead us in the singing of this song. So if we might help anyone that wants to obey the gospel, you could come. If you're a child of God that's gone astray, as Acts chapter 8 verse 34 tells, you can pray to God. We'll pray with you and for you. But if you have any need, come now as we stand.